Thank you so much for playing. Take your Bible, please, and let's go to Ephesians. Chapter 5. And let's stand. We'll read God's Word tonight. How many are cold? Raise your hands, Sherry. Are you cold? Put your coat on. It's not bad. All right, amen. I heard some people griping and complaining about how cold it is in Montana. By the way, it went from 30 below. The last time I saw it was 23 degrees. That's nice. That's really nice. Amazing how... I thought I forgot my dog outside the other day. Oh, my goodness. He wasn't too impressed. All right. All right. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husband in everything. I want to just remind you that Paul the Apostle, when he's writing this, of course the author is the Holy Spirit, but he's writing this down. A couple times he said, submit your own husband. For some, it's not hard to submit to other people, but for many, it's hard for them to submit to someone that they know their idiosyncrasies. Boy, that's a big word. All that means are screw-ups. But anyway... we live very close when you're a husband and wife. You know how they tick and how they don't tick. You know how they act and, at the most part, react. That's a big one. And so Paul wrote here and said, now listen, you submit to your own husband. You go to work. And the boss tells you to do something, even though it's not very nice, you just submit to it and do it. Because why? What? Paying you. You don't want to lose your job. Now, this is a bad time to lose your job around in these days. Amen. It's nice to have a job. Amen. Amen? Nice to have a job. And so you submit to them. But you get home and dad says something and you snarl like an old cat and spit and sputter and fuss around a little bit. You know, God says, hey, wives, submit to your own husband. Then again, he says, to their own husband. Husbands, love your wife. Even as Christ also loved the church, he gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife, what's the next two words? Loveth himself. You're a smart man to love your wife. Amen. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh and his bone. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you, in particular, and boy, I tell you what, he puts it right down. He says, every one of you, in particular, every one of you. Now, I'm talking about every one of you. You can't blow this off, say, well, that's the person behind you. Particular, so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she, her what? Oh, yeah. So, even though you know some, I heard a lady say the other day, well, he said, I just got to be mama to him again. What's wrong with that? Every once in a while, a guy needs a mama. And most of our mamas are gone. And we like being mama. I was a mama boy. I'll just tell you right now, I was a mama boy. I love my mama. Anything my mother would tell me to do, I'd do it. I mean, I'd just do it. I'd kill myself to do something for her, amen, because I knew she loved me. And so it's okay to be a mama's boy. And you're not a sissy about it. You want to call me sissy? Call me sissy. I'm not a sissy, but I'm a mama's boy. I'll always be a mama's boy. Greatest thing ever happened to me, and I had a mama. Amen. Think of that. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us and caring for us. Help us, Lord, to look into the Word of God. Help us to be very careful that we do the things that you teach us to do and tell us to do in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I spoke a little bit about this 2 weeks ago, and I spoke about how that there are the four A's of marriage. One, a man, the man provides authority. Someone has to answer for it. Someone has to take, you know, the buck has to stop someplace. Out hunting, we like to stop that buck, amen. But anyway, the buck has to stop somebody. Somebody's got to take responsibility. And God said, I want the man to be the responsible of the home. By the way, girls, listen to me very carefully. You are not going to be judged when we get to heaven. At the judgment seat of Christ, you're not going to be judged how you ruled the family. Your husband will. You are not going to be judged for that. That is not your responsibility. When your husband says something for you to do, do it. And if you know that it's not right, practice duck submission. Okay, honey, I can still remember Larry Smith and Estelle Smith. I can still remember at our camp 1 year, and she was telling about duck submission, and everybody kind of turned their head like a doggy hearing a new noise, never heard it before. And she said, well, this is duck submission. When Larry, Brother Larry, tells me to do something, I just don't think it's right, and I just think it's not a good idea. I just do what he tells me to do, but then I say, now, dear Lord, I don't think this is right. And when you whoop him, I'm going to duck, and you can give it to him, amen. So duck submission is a very interesting thing, and that keeps you out of trouble with the Lord Jesus Christ, because what does the Bible say? Wives have to do what? Talk to me. You're to submit. That's your responsibility. And I'll tell you what, you'd be a lot better off if you submit and he finds out he's wrong. And then all of a sudden he said, you can say, I told you so. Aren't you supposed to do that? Huh? I told you so. You're supposed to do that? Well, how come you do it? I told you so. I find that in the Bible. The man said, I told you not to do that. I told you so. I told you what's going to happen to you. God told the children of Israel, don't have a king. But they had to have a king. And all kinds of things happened. Their children were taken away to work in the bakeries and work in the culinary, and they were taken away to be in soldiers, and they were taken away to do this and do that. And he says, and God said, I told you so. I told you that's what's going to happen if you get a king. And so as a Christian, I think it'd be very careful that I'd say, I told you so, but I would certainly smile when something hit the fan. And I would let them know that you know. It's very important we do that, because why? We are together in this thing. If you do something that's stupid, and you cause great financial trouble to the home, now we're all in trouble. You listen to me? Now we're all in trouble. Now everybody's got to pay for it. And some good advice that comes to you and you're unwilling to take that advice, and you just, you know, when you're having a bad day, that's not the time to, or you have to pay for something, pay something off, and you just get upset, so you go down and buy a $5 Starbucks. That's really not the time to buy a $5 Starbucks. When you get a blessing or whatever, it's not the time to spend it all right there, because, you know, the old saying is, when you're either eating chicken or eating feathers, one or the other, you know. And so we as Christians, in the home, father says, I think we ought to do this. Mother says, I really don't think we ought to do this. And by the way, that ought to be done apart from your children. You don't need the discussion in front of your children. By the way, I hear so many people say, well, we're going to move in 6 months. You don't have to tell your kids that. Don't tell your kids that. They don't understand. Did you understand when you were 12 years old about some of that stuff? Boy, I remember a family in our church years ago. I mean, probably 25, 27 years ago. And they're going to their next station in life. And 6 months before they went, they started telling their kids. And every time those little girls came to our church, they'd cry, hang on me, and said, preacher, I can't stand thinking that you're not going to be my preacher. You know what? It's okay about 2 weeks. They live on the present. They don't live in the future. They live in the present. And so be very careful how you do that as a parent. And the discussion you have, you ought to discuss this thing. Call up somebody and say, hey, can you keep my kids? My wife and I are going to go out and get and eat. You ought to have a little time break. Just be with your kids. I was talking to a friend of mine that he took his wife on a vacation. And he says, whew, no kids? Phone didn't work there? He says, for a week, it was just me and her and me. Man, what a rejuvenation. Even now, I know some of you can't do that, especially when you just had a little one, you know. Well, maybe not. Man, you got Becky here now. But anyway. You know, we need to work those things out. You need to be very upfront with each other. You know, the Bible said when you get married, you two become one. And it's a pretty good idea that one is hooking together and really working together and fine-tuning the things that are in the house. You say, honey, we're having some trouble in this situation. Well, talk about it. Talk about it. Don't just let it go. You know, our water over building number 2, it's frozen or something. Or whatever. You just can't let that go. We got to figure out what's going on. Last Wednesday night, we had a water problem here at the church. And you just can't let that stuff go, because what happens when you let it go? You break your lines, you're in all kinds of trouble. So, you know, it's same way in marriage. You got to bring it to, you need to bring it to each other and say, honey, you know, I know you're the head, but here's some things really bother me. You know, how many times my wife come to me and say, honey, this really bothers me. And I'm going like, huh? That bothers you? I didn't know that bothers you. I'm sorry. That happens. Things that come into your life, you need to work on those things. So, man provides authority. He also provides affection. Your wife needs affection. I know most of us, we're pretty rough and tough and growly and you know, we bump into things and they break down. We just keep going. You know, we're just, you know, but, you know, they need affection. They really do. They need someone to speak to them kindly, and someone to show their appreciation, someone to touch them. You see, guys, we go by sight and smell. But ladies go by feeling, by touching. It's very important that you caress your wife and you tell her how much you love her and how beautiful she is. The beauty is in the beholder. By the way, you get a little older and you lose some of that Hollywood beauty, amen. I was reading an article the other day that says Hollywood TV marriages teach us to take out of marriage all that you can. Then, like a used orange, they throw away the peel and look for another. That's this marriage thing. It's a forever thing. Can I have an amen? It's a forever thing. We grow old gracefully together. We work on things. You're going to go down some things that are going to change in your life. I was thinking about the other day about. I was looking at some pictures years ago, and my goodness, when I came here, I had jet black hair. Someone said to me tonight, "Preacher," she plays the piano here. She says, "Preacher, I noticed your hair this morning was a little more, what'd you say? It's gray, sister, it's gray. You offended me. It's gray." But anyway, Julie cuts my hair, and I said, "Julie, I said, can't you get rid of all that white stuff?" She said, "You'd be bald." But anyway, we change. You don't want to stop it. I'd rather have hair than it fall out, amen. I'd rather have gray hair than have no hair, amen. But as we go into life, we change, and our lives change. A lot of things change physically. Not too much mentally, but physically. There are some things that just happen. It's happening when you go to bend over and you remember that the floor is getting a lot farther down than it ever was before. Amen. So you want to be very careful in your life. So and here's the thing you want to be careful about. You never want to hurt her in any way that would diminish her life. You want to be very careful with her. You want to be very protective with her. You want to be lighten up the load, you might say. And you want to be careful. Why? Because you want to grow old gracefully together, amen. We want to mature properly and beautifully, amen. So man provides advancement. So he provides authority, he provides affection, he provides approval. Thank you. Teach your children to be thankful children. "Oh, baby, that was a great meal last night. Oh, whew, I don't know how you did it, but wow!" Your little olives that are around your table ought to be hearing that. Instead of saying, "What is this? What do you mean, what's this? It's food. Eat it. Be thankful you got something to eat." Amen. I had a friend of mine. He came home one night. He was hungry. I mean, just hungry. How many know what I'm talking about, guys? Just hungry. And he came close to the garage, got out of his car, and he smelled this. "Oh, this wonderful aroma. Man," he said, "I felt like Pavlov's dog." He said, I just started drooling. And he said, "I walked in the house and said, 'Hey, baby.'" He gave her a big old kiss. He says, "What's for supper?" She says, "Honey, I need to talk to you about that." She said, "What do you mean? I smell so good." "Oh," she said, "I just wanted the house to smell good. I put an onion in the oven. And it didn't feel like cooking." Well, he said, "We're going out to eat tonight." Smart man. Huh? Smart man. Amen. So if you want to entice your husband to take you out to eat, put an onion in the oven, 350 degrees, for about 20 minutes. And he's going to be stark raving hungry when he gets in. Amen. So you provide approval and praise and thanks, fellas. Always thank your wife. Thank you for picking up your clothes. Thank you for making the bed. Thank you for keeping your house clean. Thank you for the meals. Thank you for being that she's nice to you and she loves you. Thank you for being that one that pleases you. You need to thank him. Be very careful about that. And the fourth thing, provide advancement. The wife needs to feel she's going somewhere. If any of you guys haven't read over Proverbs 31, you need to read it over and over and over again. That lady was a superwoman. All the things she was doing, all the things she's kind of like your wife. With all those kids, good night. Three little boys and a little baby girl. Five little boys, my goodness. Two boys and a little girl. My goodness, two boys, two girls. Wow, three boys. How many have all just boys? Raise your hand. Can you believe that? Yeah. You need to let her know that, hey, honey, you're going someplace. Amen. By the way, those boys, there is a love for a mama. A boy has love for a mama greater than any other love there is known to mankind. So, I kind of get jealous when my boys come around mama, you know. Anything for mama, I'll get out of the way, Dad. But anyway, yeah, love of mama, amen. So, those are the four things. To provide authority, to provide affection, provide approval, praise, and thanks, and provide advancement. Wife needs to know she goes up. Now, here are the four A's of a woman. You need to accept him. He sometimes is a little boy. Sometimes he's a crazy teenage boy. Sometimes he's just an old goat. You need to accept him. He does not come from the same package you came from. He's crude. He's rude. And I can go on and on and on. And that's just the way you guys are. Hey, you don't believe it? Run around over there at Donahue's house, all them five boys. Go to this family's house with their three boys, or your family over there with their three boys. That little Lillian's going to straighten up that pack. I'm going to tell you something. But you can watch those boys, and they're just boys. They carry frogs in their pocket, worms in their pockets. They carry jackknives and billfolds and a little bit of change. They carry everything. And when girls don't do that. They have a purse. But us guys, we got pants. That's why we like them cargo pants, or those 501 pants, amen. That's got all kinds of pockets in it. I've been having some trouble with my back, and so I've been going over to see the chiropractor, and I said, just a minute. So I take my phone out. I take my jackknife out. I take my pump out. I take my cards out. I take my phone out. And they look at me like, the other day I went to see my doctor. He said, man, you're doing great. But before I could see him, I had to step on that scale. I ain't going to step on that scale with all my junk in my pocket. And that lady laughed at me. She said, what are you doing? I said, I ain't going to be weighed this. This ain't me, man. And I had all kinds of stuff out there. Guys are different. You need to accept him. They think different than you girls. They're deductive thinkers. If this is this, this is this, then this is this. You girls, you think, well, it depends on how I feel today. That's how you think. And there's nothing wrong with that. We thank God for you. Amen. Marcia, where are you going? Have a seat. Thank you. Secondly, you need to adore him. Oh, he's so cute. Oh, I just adore my husband. He's just crazy. Oh, I know I love him like that. It's just fun to live with him like that. He's nuts. Yeah, I know that. But he's crazy. I know that. But I adore him. There's just something about him. If I ask every one of you girls tonight to write down on a piece of paper, and I won't, something about your husband that just drives you crazy, you could write it down. Just like that. Ask the guy that. Hey, what drives you crazy about your wife? You know what they're going to say? I don't know. Because you girls have so many different things about you that we can't pick one. I mean, your life is like this. This old boy's just like this, but you girls are just different. God put in you something that one man said, "Oh, I just can't stand my wife." I said, "Wait tomorrow. She'll be a different girl. She'll be all right. It's kind of like Montana weather. You know, just wait a day. It'll be changed. Something just bugging her today won't bug her tomorrow. It's okay. Hang on. Just don't do something stupid in the meantime." Amen. But gals, admire him. And number three, and this is going to kill you, you need to adapt to him. I'm sorry. You need to adapt to him. You need to adapt to him. You know why? He's not going to change. If you said, when you're going to marry this guy, "I'm going to change that guy," you know what you are? A number 23. You are an idiot. There is no way that man is going to change. He is in that mold, and that mold is not going to be broken. That's the way he's going to be. And you can yell, and you can fuss, and you can cry, and you can whine until the cows come home. And I'm telling you something, that man is not going to change. You better adapt to him. Now, I know some of you bought a pig in a poke, amen. Y'all know what that means? Years ago, a poke was a little pig kennel, I guess you can call it. And you never bought that pig in a poke because you wanted to see if it's lame, or you saw, make sure it's okay. Well, most of you bought a pig in a poke. So your responsibility is to do what? Talk to me. Adapt. He's not going to change. You're sitting there and saying, "You got to be kidding me. Is this what I'm going to have the rest of my life?" Yes. He's not changing. He's not changing. Sorry, Julie. He's not changing. Jim is Jim is Jim is Jim. How long have you been married to him?
34 years.
Has he changed?
No.
Thank you. I rest my case. No, I'm not even going to go there. I'm just trying to tell you something. This is just a proven thing. This is biblical. They're not changing. Now, some areas they will, of course. But for the most part, what you bought, that's what you're going to keep. So adapt to it. Make fun of it. Laugh about it. Whatever. Hang on. Take a Valium. Whatever. Put your buckle down your seat. It's okay. That's what he is. But you can love him because of it. You can adapt to it and say, "You know what? I know this is what my..." See, girls know exactly what the guy's going to do. There ain't no way I know what a girl's going to do. But girls know exactly... That wife right back there, she knew exactly what I was thinking, what I was going to do. Tell me how they do that. I don't know. I'm a guy. I don't get it. I don't understand it. Why can you do that? How do you do that? I know what you're thinking. No, you don't. And they tell you this. How'd you do that? You girls don't tell that secret to us. I, as a pastor, I'd like to know that secret. And number four, appreciate him. Appreciate him. Find some things in his life. Remember now, girls, you're his cheerleader. Find something that he's doing. There's a lot of things he's doing bad. There's a lot of things he's doing stupid stuff. There's a lot of things he's doing that just, you know, just takes you off the chart. But you find some things to appreciate. You comment him on that. See something that you really like in him. Tell him that. Now, girls, I'm going to tell you something. Boys do not write very good letters. Because when they write letters, they have to fully concentrate. They can't concentrate with 14 little kids running around yelling, screaming, and throwing mashed potatoes at each other and peas and beans. They have a hard time concentrating. So if you get a note from your husband, you cherish that. Probably a good idea to take it down to the place and get it mounted, amen. because that's not going to happen very often. Guys, we get letters all the time from our wives. Honey, can you fix this? Honey, can you fix this? That's a good way. That's really smart, girls. Guys don't like that whining business. Just let it out. Put it in place he's going to see it. And he'll say, oh, man, I said I was going to do that 6 months ago. I forgot about it. There's something I write things down. That's the way I can do it. That's the only way I can keep up with things. And I've got one thing that just bugging me because I know I've got to get it done, but I haven't found the person to do it yet or how to do it. And but you need to write them down. Write the thing down. Now I want to give you some. We got a couple minutes here. I'm going to give you the sour notes of the husband. Sour notes in the marriage. Are you ready for this? Yeah, all you girls got your pen out for this one. Amen. Lack of planning and plan of action. Lack of planning. Plan. We have a difficult time doing that. I'm sure all my buddies are mad at me, but I'm telling this stuff, but we men are called to action when something happens and we get it done. We're just at it. Something happens, go, like tonight. Hey, brother, Pastor Commodore, hey, get some of your guys out there and push Sherry in. Man, those guys are gone. They were unloading, picking stuff up, but they went out, right? Men are men of action. That's just the way we are. We're what you call minute men. We see something, do it. And somebody needs some help, we do it. Isn't that a wonderful thing, girls? That's a wonderful thing. But the problem is we lack planning. When we see something, we'll do it. But if we can step over it or climb over it and get around it, we'll do that. Because we lack planning and plan of action. And that's why it's so important for you to write us a little note and remind us. Write us a little note and remind us. That is not being what? Nag. That's not nagging. That's not nagging. Just write it down. He'll be appreciative of that. This is a long way. The best thing, don't say nothing. Just write it down. Hey, honey, can you help me get the screen door? Can you find somebody? Can you find somebody to do this? Secondly, a man has the sour note of, I'm generalizing. Your husband may not be that way, but there's a lot of guys that are. Secondly, is lack of deciding. He will not make up his mind, and he waits too long. That's hard, you know. I don't know if I want to get into this or not. A number of years ago, I had an opportunity to. You all know what it means by having mineral rights on your property. Mineral rights is that if they want to drill oil, they'll buy your mineral rights, buy oil rights to your property. And I kind of hesitated, and I lost $7,000 by hesitating. That wasn't good. That wasn't good. So, you know, we need not to hesitate. I've been working on Christmas cards for my family. How many do that? I put out over 200 just yesterday. And this afternoon, I did a whole bunch and got them done. And but I'm still, you know what? I'm still hesitating. I still don't have presents for my kids. Well, I have two of them bought for the two girls, but I don't have the two boys in South Carolina. And hopefully, I'll get that done tomorrow. But I should have done that a month ago. Lack of planning. Number three, lack of an organization. We have that lack to organize, get things ready, getting things going. Number four, lack of delegation. See, the husband must delegate responsibility in the home. He just can't. Well, God will take care of it. Well, that, you know, God gives you brains up here to delegate it, to take care of it, amen. God will want an account of the family from the husband, not anybody else. Husband bears the responsibility. It may not be compared to physical labor, but it's mental, the fact to say, honey, you know, we need to do that. And many times they're unwilling to do that. Also, number five, failure to supervise and failure to and failure in leadership. Well, you tell the kid to do something, then you just go on to the next thing. You expect them to know what you know. Well, they don't. I was amazed by, I told Marcus to go up and get, I can't remember. Marcus, what did I ask you to go up on my desk get for me the other day? I can't remember. But I said, it is on the desk. Oh, yeah, yeah. It was, I had some seasoning. And I promised the family to get it. And I left it up in there and I asked him to go get it. And that rascal, he came back down and he had it. Because I tried real careful to tell him where it was at. Sometimes you dads get after your kid because you can't find what you told him to go get. But they don't have the brains that you got. They're still simple. There's nothing written on their page. They can't deduct and say, well, this is what. All right. Wives. Wives are domineering, number one, in your scheduling. Oh, yes. Number two. Now, I'm just saying this, okay? I'm giving you I'm giving you illustrations. I'm giving you what a lot of people have problems with, all right? Number two, she domineers in spending. You definitely don't want to do that, girls. There's just so much money to go around. There's called a budget. Our country is in trouble because they've taken my Social Security money and given it away to other people. That frogs me. I paid for 52 years into that investing. I've been investing so that I would have something to live on when I'm not working. And they've given that money away. They have cheated. I'll tell you what, if you pull that kind of stunt, that misappropriation of funds. And they're saying, well, we can do this, and then they take money from another place. They call it, paying Peter's, you rob Peter to pay Paul. Not supposed to do that. Well, in your home, there's just so much comes in. How many know how much money comes in? Don't raise your hand. How many know how much money comes in? Both husband and wife ought to know that. And she said, well, I'm going down and get my nails done. What's it cost to get nails done now? How much? 30? Okay. I think a woman ought to have beautiful nails. I think that's great. But if it comes with beautiful nails and diapers, I guess we're getting diapers. If it comes from beautiful nails and bread, we're going to go with the bread. If it comes from a brand new dress, or Goodwill, or Salvation Army. By the way, if you ever look down there, they got some pretty nice stuff. All you have to do is take it to the dry cleaner. I mean, some of us just don't got that money laying around. And if I'm going to do $30 worth of nails, wow! And so that has to be. That many times they thought, well, honey, you want me to look nice. Well, yes, I want you to look nice. I don't want somebody in our church to start doing nails, amen. Give you a deal, amen. Hey, you want to get your hair cut? Julie, do your hair cut, amen. And you ought to use those kind of things. There's just certain things you need to be very careful about in your home. And I'm going to say something I want you to be very careful about. Don't loan people money if you don't have the money to loan. Don't give somebody something that if it breaks, it doesn't work anymore. My daddy used to say, I never like to borrow because when I borrow, I always have to bring it back better than I brought it, got it, and there's always something that breaks on it. Well, that was good advice to me. Be very careful in your family. This is a family thing. You are a family unit. We have the Buells. You're a family unit. Nobody else. Just you. You to death. Brother Rogers, you're the family unit. That's it. I mean, it gives you and Mama. Curtis, you're the family unit. What happens when you do some of that kind of stuff and you get caught because you don't have any finances to take care of it, that's why you are borrowing, and you put yourself in a real position and all of a sudden somebody gets mad at you and get picked off at you and you're not friends anymore. Well, that's kind of rough when you do that in church, amen? Now remember the golden rule about giving. Someone comes to you and says, I need some help. The golden rule is, number one, they can't force you to give it. But number two, if you do give it, the golden rule is, don't expect it back. That's what the Bible says. So, if you're going to give it, you want to be very careful that you can look back and all this stuff that you got in your brains and say, you know what? I'd be in real trouble if I gave that because I'm not sure I'd get it back. And well, that wouldn't be good. And so you respectfully say, you know what? I can't do that. And the person begging for it, shut up! It ain't yours! If the person says, you know, I just can't do it, say, hey, I'm just asking. A lot of times, hey, let me give this to you. A lot of times in my life, I will call somebody up and I say, can you come and help me? And they say, I can't. What is my reaction to that? My reaction is, hey, it's okay. I'm just asking. If you can help me, that's great. If you can't, that's fine. I got it. When you're asking somebody, if somebody says, hey, I can't do it, don't get mad and say, well, hey, you do it for somebody else. Oh, shut up. Okay, someone comes and asks you, all right, Brother Rick, I need $1,000. He says, me too. Can you help me?
No, sir, unfortunately.
But I'm your pastor.
I can give you some, but not all of that.
You can give me some. How much can you give me?
I'd have to talk with my wife on that.
Good answer. Did you hear what he said? I got to talk to my wife. Why? Does anybody got the... I'll give you $1 tonight if you can tell me what the answer to that is. Why? Yes, sir?
She wrote the finances.
No, that's not it. No, that's... I'm sorry. You lose. Yes? Come here. Send your boy up here. That is it right there. We are what?
One.
Give that to your mom. That's... She needs $19 more to do her nails. I mean, no, $29 more. So in our married life, when you said okay, but she doesn't know anything about it, is that good or bad?
Bad.
Bad. Bad, 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 bad. You say, but what? Because they're a family. Let's say he gives me $1,000, his wife doesn't know about it, all of a sudden I skip the country, no $1,000. Now, how are you going to pay for your car? How are you going to pay for your house? How are you going to pay for your renting? How are you going to pay for your food? How are you gonna, hey, that those three boys and that little girl need to be taken care of. So, you are responsible for your what? Own house. And you're one. He said, boy, I'm the rooster in my family. Yeah, you ought to be stewed too. I'm going to pluck you. That's stupid. Hey, you know, when you're married, it's a continual thing of talking back and forth and discussing and making sure it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, okay. One person in that marriage does not have the control. When you got married, you said, I do. And she said, you better. And when you got married, you became what? One. So everything that happens in the home depends on husband and wife. It's very important. You'll keep out a lot of trouble if you do that. You be careful. When someone says, I need that. And you say, boy, you know, I love you, brother. Let me pray for you, but I can't do that right now. And second, I need to talk to my wife. Even though I don't think we can, but I'm going to talk to her. And he talks to his wife and says, honey, we just can't do that. We're working so hard to pay that school bill. We're working so hard to pay our taxes. We're working so hard to get this done. What happens if something does happen? What happens if the family gets mad at you and doesn't pay you back? Going to take them to jail? You can't take them to jail. The Bible says you Christians can't take other Christians to jail or to court. Isn't that what the Bible says? 1 Corinthians, read it. So when someone invites and asks you for something and you can't do it, be polite or say no. I can't do it. Because there's a lot of people out there who want to work you. There's a lot of people out there that will not be careful about when they borrow something from somebody to pay it back. And that's unfortunate. If I'm a Christian and I have some means and I'm very careful about those means, then I can say yes. Unfortunately, I don't have someone that I can talk with anymore about that. But if I can, I will. But if I can't, a while back, a lady came to my house and said, pray for me, $1,000. And I told her, I said, I'll pray for you, but I said, I just don't have it. I don't have it. I don't know which way to go. I came to our church and I said, church, I'd like to help this person, but I can't. Can we all together, by the way, we saved that lady's house. She is not getting evicted out of her house. She's a widow. Aren't you glad about that? So there's some ways that we work some things. We pray. I thank God. God says, you bring it to the church. Domineering is scheduling, domineering is spending. Oh, I got some more next week. It's about 7:15. I want to get out here at 7:15 for you. Ladies, meet after the service and plan your secret sister reveal party. Please meet in front of the church piano. All right. I love you folks. I hope I can help you. I do. I tell you, there's some crazy stuff in marriage. Just some people just haven't heard about it, working on it. I've been at mine for 47 years, so I've picked up a few things. I'm still lacking. All boys lack. Amen. Every once in a while we need mama. Amen. Let's stand and be dismissed. Please love your husband. Please love your wife. By the way, one of these days, you're going to be all alone with each other. And all this craziness of all through the night, early in the morning, screaming and hollering and dirty diapers, and that's going to be gone. So my suggestion is take real good care of her now. Take very good care of her now so that you'll have a long life together. It'll be very, very important for you to do that. Father, I pray you'd speak to our hearts. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for the Word of God that teaches us these principles. Lord, help us live more like you. Jesus, I pray that you'd help these husbands to love their wives better. And these wives that would love their husband better. And Lord, that we would be in touch with you at all times. In Jesus' name. Amen. Ladies, meet up here. All right.